see that you want diamonds and a ring of gold. You see that you want your story to remain untold. But all the promises we make, from the cradle to the grave, when all I want is you, when all I want is you. Give me a highway with no one on it, treasure just to look upon it, all the riches in the night. You see, you want me to have eyes in the moon of blindness, a river in a time of dryness, a harbor in the tempest. But all the promises we made, from the cradle to the grave, when all I want is you, and when all I want is you. 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 Ooh. You see that you want love to work out right, to last throughout the night. And you see that you want diamonds and a ring of gold, your story to go untold, your love not to grow, and all the promises we make, from the cradle to the grave, when all I want is you, when all I want is you. Not that hard to figure out, we are too hard to live without. One more soldier fighting on the good side. We stand so tall when we're on our stage, light the room with the words we say. Go where we wanna play, but we're always here. This is for you because I know you care. This is for you and your precious air. This is about you. I'm singing about you. this is for you, because I know you care. This is for you and your precious air. This is about you. I'm singing about you. Oh, the song is about you. The song is about you. That we're too hard to live without. One more soldier fighting on the good side. Will we stand so tall when we're on the stage? Light the room with the words that we say. Go where we wanna play, but we're always here. And this is for you, because I know you care. This is for you and your precious self. This is about you. I'm singing about you. This is for you, because I know you care. This is for you and your precious self. I'm singing about you. Yeah, the song is about you and your precious self. It's not that hard to figure out. We are too good to do without. We're one more soldier fighting on the good side. That was my brother. Happy New Year to him. He wrote that. Bless him. Yesterday went whale watching. It was my son's birthday. It was an absolutely stunningly beautiful afternoon. We saw two grey whales swimming together. I've never seen that before. And we saw a bunch of dolphins. So this is a song about by a singer-songwriter from the 60s called Fred Neil, who later in his career actually became a fervent defender of dolphins, and he wrote this song kind of all about why there's too much trouble in the world, and it's called Dolphins. It's beautiful. This whole world may never change, though it's always been. I only know the ways of war cannot change it back again. I've been searching for the dolphins in the sea. Sometimes I wonder, do you think of me? I'm not the one to tell this world how to get along. Only know that peace will come when all I heard is gone. I've been searching for the dolphins in the sea. Yeah, yeah. Sometimes I wonder, do you ever think of me? at me. Sometimes I think about Saturday's child, and all about the times when we all were running wild. I've been searching for the dolphins in the sea. Sometimes I wonder, do you ever think of me? I've been searching for the dolphins in the sea. Sometimes I wonder, do you ever of me? It's been a long time since I've seen some of you. So, Happy New Year, everybody. This is for all of you. Let's see the way down when we're feeling down. That's okay. Let's hold our heads up, hold our hands every day. When the darkness night begins, come sit with me, my dear. We'll let the morning light come in, 'cause every day, well, it's a happy new year. So happy new year. Happy new year. Yeah, happy new year. Happy new year. Flame that flickers, its light should get her. It's advice for the good, so be good and keep your word. But when the darkness night begins, take faith and face your fears. Let that morning light come in. Don't you know every day is a happy new year? So happy new year. Happy new year. Yeah, happy new year. Happy new year. Hey, everybody.
Thank you, Brad. And good morning, everyone. And welcome to the Unitarian Universalist Congregation in Fullerton. I am the Reverend Jason Cook, and I am truly delighted that you have chosen to be with us today. Now, we have a special service in store for you, one looking back at the past year and looking forward to the new one ahead. UUCF is an inclusive community dedicated to searching for truth and meaning in order to build a better world for all, guided by moral principles such as the worth and dignity of every person. We draw inspiration from world religions and philosophies, science, history, and the arts. We are especially happy to welcome visitors to our congregation. We encourage you to visit the welcome table in the social hall after the service, where you can learn more about who we are. And guests are warmly invited to participate in our activities. And we look forward to getting to know you better. And in that spirit, I now invite you to take a brief moment, turn to your neighbor, and say hello, if you would like.
Good morning, folks. My name is Christina Garner, and I'm going to serve as your worship associate this morning. The Unitarian Universalist Congregation in Fullerton is a thriving, engaging community with many activities and programs going on. In fact, it's going to be so wonderful today, you might even feel free to turn off your cell phone for the rest of the service. You can read about many of these activities. It's in the announcements insert in your order of service, but I'd like to highlight a couple of them. Donette, are you available to speak? Okay.
Good morning, I'm Donette. Just want to remind everyone that Chalice Circle signups are happening now. If you're interested in being in a Chalice Circle, which will begin in February, you need to see me at the Chalice Circle table and sign up. I want to make sure that you understand that even if you were in the program this last year, you have to sign up again. All of the groups have dissolved. Brand new groups are forming. So past membership does not mean you don't need to give me your availability. So this week and next week, and then we're going to form the groups. If you have a friend who you know is interested and they're not here today, they can email me. They can call me. So just encourage your friends to contact me this week if they're not here. Thanks.
You might enjoy being part of a Chalice Circle, as I was. They're wisdom circles. They give us the time we rarely have to sit and talk about the deeper issues in life. I'd also like to see if Reverend Jason could tell us a little bit about the service auction.
Yes, and I will tell you a very little bit about the service auction because there is a lot to know about it, and that's why you'll find a flyer inside your order of service. The first thing I want you to do is put that date on your calendar, because this is a really fun, exciting event that you will want to be part of. It's an opportunity for people in the congregation to donate events and other kinds of activities and things to this auction, and then you can participate in those events and other activities throughout the year. It's really fun. Read carefully all about it. Consider donating something, an event or some other thing, and be part of that, because a lot of people in this congregation will attest that they fill their social calendar with those service auction activities, and they're pretty amazing. So I encourage you to be present for that, whether you're a newcomer or whether you've been here for decades. All are welcome.
Finally, I'd like to invite Debbie Longenbacher, chair of our Social Action Committee, to give us a report about what you might want to get involved in.
Good morning. I wanted to make sure that everybody is aware of what is my favorite time of year for social action and UUCF, and that is our Standing on the Side of Love, the 30 days of Standing on the Side of Love, which begins next week. And we will have lots of activities every week. And I see that Barbara Nelson is wearing her lovely Standing on the Side of Love shirt that we have for sale in the social hall. And you can wear your, you can buy a shirt and wear it to these various events. Next week we are going to reinstate Share the Plate, which is when we pass the plate at the end of the service, any non-pledge money, half will be donated to charity and half will go into our general collection. We also next week will be working on making posters for the Women's Unity March that's in Santa Ana on the 21st. Also in the social hall, we have sign-ups for carpools for people who would like to carpool to that event, which promises to be very exciting. Lots of other things that are coming up, both that we're doing ourselves in the congregation as well as in collaboration with other organizations. Couple examples, on the 19th, OCO will be having a vigil at the Islamic Center on State College, and I encourage people to go and participate with that. Accord will be having a citizenship fair also, I believe, on the 20th of February, and many other activities that will be coming up. So please look in your online announcements, look in the order of service for announcements of activities to come over our 30 days of Standing on the Side of Love. It really is a wonderful event that we do every year. Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Eleanor Nunez, and I'm the acting music coordinator here. For our opening hymn, we will be singing For the Earth Forever Turning, and you can find that in your hymnal. It's 163, but if you know it, which most of you do, we have the lyrics projected on the screen. So please stand in mind, body, and spirit, and join us in singing For the Earth Forever Turning.
Come into this space, a space where this morning we acknowledge the turning of the earth, the shifting of the sands of time. It is, of course, the month of January. January, named for the ancient mythological Roman god Janus, the god of beginnings and endings, passages, transitions, and time. Now, as you see, he has two faces, since he looks both to the future and the past. And the month of January is named for him because this time of year is all about transitions, looking back on what has been and looking forward on whatever will be. Each year, the beginning of January presents us with a natural and perhaps unavoidable opportunity to look back at the year that has just ended, to review and reflect upon our joys and sorrows, our transitions and troubles, our losses and gains, our accomplishments and our disappointments, and also to look ahead to the year that is just dawning and acknowledging the possibilities through which we can bring hope into the world, even amidst the challenges that we inevitably face. though our natural human desire for permanence and predictability sometimes shields us from this reality, we all live, we're all in a constant process of life cycles, beginnings and endings, births and deaths, comings and goings. We are rarely more aware of life's eternal and unstoppable process of cyclical change than we are at the close of one year and the beginning of another. So if for a moment, here at the beginning of January, the whole world seems to stand still, and if we are wise enough to pause and reflect, we can take stock of the inevitable passage of time and the flow of our lives. Let us enter into this worship service with the respect warranted for the gift of this time of reflection together.
We're now going to light the chalice that is the symbol of Unitarian Universalism. On Sunday mornings, you have many worshiping options, and I'm glad you've chosen our congregation today. Would you join with me now in saying those words that are printed in your order of service? This flame affirms the light of truth, the warmth of community, and the fire of commitment. Love is the doctrine that we share. The quest of truth is our sacrament, and service is our prayer. To dwell together in peace, to seek knowledge and freedom, to serve human need, thus do we covenant with one another. Each Sunday, our children collect food donations to provide food for those in need here in Fullerton and surrounding areas. This is just one of the many ways our congregation serves the larger community. We invite the children to come and sit up front afterwards for the Time of All Ages story before going to their educational classes.
Well, good morning, everyone. I have a little story for you this morning. It's kind of a silly story, but it's also relevant to our topic this morning about the passage of time. The story goes like this. Jim was the son of a cowboy. When he was 12 years old, the town butcher, a no-nonsense man, said to him, "Jim, ride one of my horses into the country to the pasture, but don't delay, for I've no patience with boys who waste time." And he gave Jim a gold coin. Now, Jim dashed away in true cowboy fashion, riding over the meadow and throwing his lasso at imaginary cattle. But suddenly, that lasso caught on to something. And an instant later, he saw an old man. Good casting, right? An old man caught fast in that lasso. He had long white whiskers and wore a loose robe. In one arm, he carried an hourglass. This old man spoke in an angry voice.
"Now get that rope off of me. Don't you know who I am? I'm Father Time. Now set me free. Everything in the world stopped moving the moment you caught me. No more business and set up. No more pleasure and war. No more love, misery, and ambition. Not a watch has ticked since you tied me up here."
Said the boy, "Since the world has stopped anyhow, it won't matter if it takes a little longer recess. As soon as I let you go, time will fly again." Then he swung the old man, bound as he was, upon the back of the butcher's horse. Now he rode on until he reached the next city, where all the people stood like statues in exactly the same positions they were in when Jim had lassoed Father Time. On the sidewalk sat a poor beggar, and beside him stood a gentleman about to drop a penny into the beggar's hat. Now, Jim knew this gentleman to be rich but stingy, so he reached into the man's pocket and took out a $20 gold piece, which he put in the gentleman's fingers instead of the penny. "That donation will surprise him when he comes to life," said the boy.
A little further down the street was a barber shop, and sitting in the barber's chair for a shampoo, Jim saw the man that all the boys declared was the meanest man in town. Jim ran to the drugstore, and getting a jar of molasses, he returned and poured it over the ruffled hair of the mean man. Nearby was the schoolhouse where the teacher sat at his desk, frowning as usual. Taking a piece of chalk, Jim marked upon the blackboard in big letters the following words: "Every student is requested to yell as loud as they can." Then the young cowboy remembered his prisoner, and he carefully unwound the rope from the old man.
"Now that you've freed me, the world will come to life again."
So Jim mounted the butcher's horse, and as he rode past the schoolhouse, he heard a tremendous chorus of yells caused by the sign on the blackboard. Through the window of the barber shop, he saw the mean man frantically chasing the barber with a hairbrush while his hair stood up stiff with molasses. Jim was reveling in the excitement he had caused when someone pulled him from the horse. "What are you doing here, you rascal?" cried the butcher angrily. "Didn't you promise to put that horse into the pasture, not ride around like you have all the time in the world? I'll take you to the sheriff." "That's a fact," said Jim with surprise. "I clean forgot about the horse." So this story teaches us how important time is, and that even if we could stop it like Jim does, it wouldn't be wise to do so. Time is going to roll on, and it's important that we take care to notice every precious moment of it. You may go to your classes. Thank you. Essayist E.B. White wrote in his essay, The Ring of Time, "One of the creatures most acutely aware of the passing of time is the fiddler crab. Tiny spots on his body enlarge during daytime hours, giving him the same color as the mud bank he explores, and thus protecting him from his enemies. At night, the spots shrink, his color fades, and he's almost invisible in the light of the moon. These changes are synchronized with the tides, so that each day they occur at a different hour. Even when the crabs are removed from their natural environment and held in confinement, the rhythm of their change continues uninterrupted, and they mark the passage of time, faithful to the tides. We human beings, blessed and cursed as we are with our highly evolved intelligence and self-consciousness, also feel the rhythms of our own life cycles, and fully experience all the bittersweet tides that flow in and out of our lives. This morning, then, we seek to become like the attentive fiddler crab, alive to and in tune with our own cycles of life and death, loss and gain, joy and sorrow, promise and pain. In pausing as we begin this new year to take stock of the old year and anticipate what's ahead, we stand in reverence before the miracle of being alive in this amazing and transitory creation. In our time together, as we meditate, reflect, listen, write, speak, and sing, may each one of us realize how very holy and mysterious the gift of life is, with its ever-changing and unstoppable tides.
As we acknowledge the turning of the year, I invite you now to take a moment to remember the miracle from which we come. Hear now the words of Robert T. Weston. "Out of the stars in their flight, out of the dust of eternity, here have we come. Stardust and sunlight, mingling through time and through space. Out of the stars have we come. Up from time, out of the stars have we come. time out of time, before time and the vastness of space, Earth spun to orbit the sun. Earth with the thunder of mountains newborn, boiling of seas. Earth warmed by sun, lit by sunlight. This is our home. Out of the stars have we come, mystery hidden in mystery, back through all time, mystery rising from rocks in the storm of the seas. Out of the stars, rising from rocks and the sea, kindled by sunlight on earth, arose life. Ponder this thing in your heart. Ponder with awe. Out of the sea to the land, out of the shallows came ferns. Out of the sea to the land, up from the darkness to light, rising to walk and to fly. Out of the sea trembled life. Ponder this thing in your heart, life up from the sea, eyes to behold, throats to sing, mates to love. Life from the sea, warmed by the sun, washed by rain, life from within, giving birth, rose to love. This is the wonder of time. This is the marvel of space. Out of the stars swung the earth. Life upon earth rose to love. This is the marvel of life, rising to see and to know. Out of your heart, cry to wonder, sing that we live.
To everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under heaven. A time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, and a time to reap that which was planted. Each year marks several moments in time, moments we call turning points this morning. We will look at those turning points that have come to an end and toward the ones that will be in the year ahead. And let us begin as a community by remembering those we have lost in the past year through death. You know, of all the significant life transitions we human beings experience, perhaps the most monumental, most emotional one is death. Each year, because we are all caught up in an intricate web of interdependence and interconnectedness with other human beings, we feel the pain that comes from losing people. 2016, a year marked by death for every one of us in one way or another. Family members, companions, soulmates, neighbors, friends. And the loss and the sorrow we feel is a tribute to the love and connection we have felt for those departed ones who have shared life's journey with us. So I now invite our worship associate to light a candle as we acknowledge first the members of this religious community we have lost in the past year. As I say their names, their pictures will be projected on our screen. Walt Dobley. Sophia Alper. Jack Thiebert. We will miss all these unique and wonderful people, knowing that at the very least, they live on in our memories, in the experience we have shared with them, the stories that we tell. I invite our worship associate now to light a candle, one candle for all those dear family members and friends, parents, siblings, spouses, aunts, uncles, cousins, nieces, nephews, close friends we've lost during the last 12 months. And I invite you now, anyone who did lose someone in the last 12 months, to come forward and share their name and their relationship with you so that we can all hold their memory as a community together.
My cousin, Carol, and her husband, Gary Posner, who passed last Tuesday.
Kathy Rich, my sister.
Barbara Stoff, my cousin.
Dory Stack, my closest work friend and mentor for 22 years.
Lavinia Lawless, my grandmother.
Leah Mars, a friend, and Roy Johnston, my sister-in-law's father.
My grandmother on my father's side, he's still with me.
Darryl Hardy, a musician I used to work with.
I've lost three. My father-in-law, Keith Clark, Sr., Matthew Foster, the father of my daughter, who married her husband this year, and Lloyd Rogers, a close friend of ours for many, many years, who taught at Cal State Fullerton.
Two friends, Harry Kelb and Nancy Mead.
Myself, because I actually what died and was brought back. So
and last, I invite our worship associate to light one candle for all those who died this past year, both the famous and the anonymous, who shared the planet with us, but whom we never personally knew, but whose lives nonetheless touched ours. And now Christina will lead us in a responsive reading.
This reading is listed for you in your order of service. Would you now rise in body or in spirit and join with me in this reading? It's by Norman Cousins, entitled The Body of Humankind. I am a single cell in a body of 4 billion cells. The body is humankind. I am a single cell. My needs are individual, but they are not unique.
I am
I will work for human unity and human peace, for a moral order in harmony with the order of the universe.
Together we share the quest for a society whole, equal to our needs.
A society in which we need not live beneath our moral capacity and in which justice has a life of its own.
We are single cells in a body of 4 billion cells. The body is
thank you.
These are the days of the open hand. It will not be the last. Look around now. These are the days of the beggars and the choosers. This is the year of the hungry man. Places in the past, hand in hand with ignorance and legitimate excuses. The rich declare themselves poor, and most of us not sure if we have too much, but we'll take our chances, cause God stopped keeping score. I guess somewhere along the way, he must have let us all out to play, turned his back, and all God's children crept out the back door. And it's hard to love, there's so much to hate, hanging on to hope, but there is no hope to speak of. And the wounded skies above say it's much too late, maybe we should all be praying for time. days of the empty hand. Oh, you hold on to what you can, and charity is the coat you wear twice a year. This is a year of the guilty man. Your television takes a stand, and you find that what was there is over here. So you scream from behind your door, say what's mine is mine and not yours. I may have too much, but I'll take my chances, 'cause God stopped keeping score. And you cling to the things they sold you. Did you cover your eyes when they told you that he can't come back, because he has no children to come back for? And it's hard to love, there's so much you hate, hanging on to hope, and there's no hope to speak of. And the wounded skies above say it's much too late, so maybe we should all be praying for time, praying for time.
For time are answered by those who are born into our world. And that is what we will do now. We will acknowledge all those persons who have been born into our world this past year. A wise person once said, every child comes with a message that God is not yet discouraged with humanity. E.B. White, in his wonderful poem, Conch, said, hold a baby to your ear as you would a conch shell, and it's the sound of centuries you hear. New centuries foretell. Who can break a baby's code? And which is the older, the listener or his small load, the held or the holder? In the past year, many millions of infant children have been born into this world. Just as the ebbing tide of death has washed so many persons away from us, the shores of humanity have been replenished by a fresh, new, hopeful incoming tide of persons eager to live life and make our world a better place. Through our infant children, humanity renews itself and offers a vision of hope for our future. So I invite Christina to light a candle for all those children born into our immediate circles of love and concern, the children born into our extended families, the children born to our close friends. And I invite those of you who have been touched by birth this past year to please come forward and say the name of the one who has been welcomed to life. I know there's some proud grandparents out here.
Great-grandson number two, Tristan, that I got to have breakfast with this morning.
I'm an uncle reborn. My nephew turns five.
We welcomed Anastasia Faith, my second granddaughter.
Welcomed in November, my great-granddaughter, Ava Marie.
A close friend of mine welcomed a baby girl, Bethany Eaton.
November, we welcomed, I welcomed nephew number four, Aaron Joshua, or AJ.
And lastly, let us light a candle for all the children born this year everywhere on the planet. Let us all pray and work for a world where every child receives the love, dignity, opportunity, and joy proper and deserving of each and every human being. Hear now the words of Reverend Alan Taylor, a Unitarian Universalist minister at Unity Temple in Chicago, as he speaks of his hopes for our future. I want our children to develop what we call critical inquiry, the capacity to think critically and inquire out of a sense of genuine interest. I want our children to learn of the inspiring heritage that we have. I want our children to know that there is indeed hope in the world, and that there are morals, and that there is such a thing as right and wrong. And there are differing degrees of rightness and wrongdoing. I want our children to become human beings of compassion, achievement, integrity, and discipline. I want our children to learn how to make good decisions, drawing on the authority of personal experience, the authority of reason, and the authority of tradition. I want our children to know where we human beings have failed and to have the hope that we can move forward. I want our children to learn that they are the authors of their own lives, that they are free to explore the wide wonders of this world, free to compose their lives as the seed within them decides and dictates. I want to dare our children to be creative rather than to passively accept the world just the way things are. I want our children to discern what is truly important to them. And finally, I want to spark our children's imaginations so that they may dream and envision a world that is better than the one we've got, so they can bring it into being. I want all of these because I believe that in each child and adult, there lies dormant life's longing for itself.
For each child that's born, morning star rises and sings to the universe who we are. For each child that's born, a morning star rises and sings to the universe who we are. We are our grandmother's prayers, and we are our grandfather's dreamings. We are the breath of our ancestors. We are the Spirit of God.
Por cada niño que nace, una estrella de la mañana se levanta y canta el universo que somos. Por chaque enfant qui est né, une étoile de matin se lève et chante l'univers qui nous sommes. Akeno, yoju kodomo tachi, hitori hitori, mezamete, uchu ni yuta, shino sunata. Für jedes Kind, das geboren ist, ein Morgenstern aufgeht und singt um das Universum, wer wir sind.
We are mothers of courage and fathers of time. We are daughters of dust and the sons of great visions. We're sisters of mercy and brothers of love. We are lovers of life and the builders of nations. We're seekers of truth and keepers of faith. We are makers of peace and the wisdom of ages. We are our grandmother's prayers, and we are our grandfather's dreamings. We are the breath of our ancestors. We are the Spirit of God. For each child that's born, a morning star rises and sings to the universe who we are. So
in 2016, we have been touched by the great cycle of birth and death, and each and every one of us has been caught up In the universal cycle of joy and sorrow, each year of our lives, no matter how blessed or lucky some of us might feel, brings with it an inevitable mix of pleasure and pain, for life is a bitter slash sweet dance of both positive and negative experiences and emotions. And so let us now, as we reflect on the uneven flow of our lives last year, remember the positive. I invite you to consider one positive thing from last year. And there is one positive thing we do every Sunday here in our community, and it's contribute to it, whether it's our time, our talent, our treasure. And in just a moment, the offering basket will be passed around. You'll have the opportunity to continue to support the work of this congregation for the year ahead. Always your generosity is deeply appreciated. But during this time of offertory music, I also want you to consider that one thing from this past year which brought you great joy or satisfaction. That one thing. And then following this period of reflection, there will be an opportunity for any of you who wish to share with us what has brought you happiness and fulfillment in the past 12 months. And remember, we do watch our time here on Sunday morning, so it'd be great if we have a lot of things to share, but keep it brief if you can. So let us enter this spirit of generosity and reflection and think on those good and joyful things. So I'd like to invite anyone who would like to share a brief joy from the past year with the rest of us. I think we learn from each other where we can find the joy in our lives.
Redwood Hall here. Well, this year, the one thing I really remember is that we saw 11 of our 13 great-grandchildren grow up.
It's no secret 2016 was a rough year for me. I kind of got hit in all directions of my life. But my joy is the love and support and compassion that I felt from my UUCF family.
Ditto on that one, and I want to say specifically the Sunshine Committee, once again, that helped me get, and are my family, most especially Savannah and Diego. You guys, once again, we're here and fed us, literally, when I couldn't. And for that, I will be forever thankful.
In 2016, I retired and I re-entered the land of Hanalei.
My name is Brandy Holloway, and I haven't been here a lot because I've been very busy. Completed my Master's of Science in Nursing while working full-time, so I'm really proud of that.
And we couldn't have the births and deaths without marriages, and I just wanted to say that in 2016, I celebrated 15 years of marriage.
One of them was getting to sit and play with my granddaughter, who's 2 years old. The other one, very recently, was to help my mother dress and brush her teeth, put her to bed, and tuck her in, which she probably did thousands of times for me. But everyone should have that joy, and I hope everyone has that opportunity.
Uh, 2016 marks the year that I started my doctoral program, so that has been a joy in the sense that I feel so grateful for the opportunity to do that. But when every paper that gets turned in, every book I finish reading, which there are a lot of them, research articles and everything else, I look to my family and I say, thank you. Thank you so much for supporting me in this effort, as I couldn't do it without you.
The greatest thing somebody ever did for me was my sister and my daughter-in-law came and picked me up from Las Vegas this summer so that I could see the baby. I don't get to see him that often.
Notice how many of our joys have to do with our relationship to other human beings. American poet and lifelong Unitarian Carl Sandburg once said, "Let a joy keep you. Reach out your hands and take it when it runs by, as the Apache dancer clutches his partner. I have seen them. Live long and laugh loud. Sent on singing, smashed to the heart, under the ribs, with a terrible love. Joy always, joy everywhere." So I will light a final candle in appreciation of everything about life which brings us joy, and pray that all persons everywhere find abundant gladness and satisfaction.
You know, joy candles may be reluctant to light sometimes, but we're going to light it. We are persistent, if nothing else. There we go.
Hear now the words of Reverend Tom Owen Tull as he speaks of how we are called to find joy in our lives. First, without losing ourselves in esoteric distinctions, it's important to recognize that whereas the reality of joy may include physical and mental contentment, even bliss, it goes deeper than that. The cycle of pleasure is usually short. It arrives, contributes its sensation, then leaves. Joy's a thick, not a thin virtue, enduring rather than mercurial, and doesn't appear merely when we summon it. Joy, the real article, is the product of effort, time, and sacrifice. It arrives at offbeat times and in strange guises. As the Hindu scriptures sagely note, joy comes only as a whole, replete with bouts of sorrow, combined with moments of ecstasy. The genuine article blends both gift and grind. Second, joy dwells inside. The fullness of joy comes from tending our own garden rather than coveting the plot of our neighbor. Joy is lodged in the corners of our beings and must be fostered there first and foremost. Third, we're charged to entertain joy at sneaky times and in serendipitous places. Be surprised by joy. You and I are seldom able to buy much joy during our lives, no matter how hard we try. So loosen up. Let go. Be surprised by the real thing. Let joy crack open amidst the most ordinary of our daily events. And may we, no promises, remember joy is an unmerited surprise. be showered with a spray of life-giving radiance.
So I'm going to invite you now to look for some little slips of paper you may see flapping in the pocket in front of you in the pew. Do you see those little, right in front of you, kind of wedged in there with the books? There's little pieces of thin paper that we need to pass out to everyone, as well as pencils you'll find at the end of the rows. And some of you folks may have to turn around to the row behind you and see if they've got some papers to share with you. All right. Is everyone pretty much situation? I had a problem in here because so many of you are so good at cleaning up. They were trying to clean up the pencils and papers even as I kept putting them out this morning. So I'm glad they're still here. So look, no matter how joyous or blessed a year may have been, each of us nonetheless inevitably comes into the new year with something we need to let go of, something, whether it's a regret about something about ourselves which we wish we could change, whether it's an unpleasant memory of something that happened over the last 12 months, it's something that we now know we need to let go of. And even the most sterling among us come to the new year somewhat tarnished with character flaws, harmful habits, unkind inclinations, prejudices, guilts, wounds, regrets for action, that we now stand in need of someone else's forgiveness. Perhaps we're holding on to something someone else has done to us, and we need to let that go. There's no shame in acknowledging that these things weigh us down, for we are all flawed human beings struggling with our imperfections. And so we're going to have a time of silent meditation now, a very brief time, but I will invite you on that little piece of paper to write one thing which you would like to let go of from the past year. And these pieces of paper will only be seen by you. You're not sharing this with anybody else. And when that period of meditation comes to a close, I will, in a more sanctuary-friendly version of the Buddhist burning bowl tradition, we're going to drown those regrets in our water bowl here, because this is actually magic paper we have this morning that will dissolve when it hits that water. So I invite you to think of what it is you need to let go of and write that down, and then there will be the opportunity to come forward in just a moment. I now invite you to come forward during our time of music and add your paper to the bowl and let go of that thing. Someone asked me why I didn't put anything in the bowl. I said, well, I've been testing it all week. I put about 36 regrets in the bowl. So I invite you now to share with me this responsive reading. Your response will always be the same. Let's practice it now. We forgive ourselves and each other. We begin again in love. For remaining silent when a single voice would have made a difference, we forgive ourselves. For the selfishness which sets us apart and alone, for losing sight of our unity, for those and for so many acts, both evident and subtle, which have fueled the illusion of separateness, we forgive ourselves and each other. We begin again in love. Now we finally arrive at the final turning point this morning, our hopes for the new year. Our own Ralph Waldo Emerson said, we judge a man's wisdom by his hope. As the cycle of one year comes to a close, it is only natural for us to make resolutions for how we might change and improve ourselves as persons. And our faith, Unitarianism and Universalism, have always been religions which affirm the human capacity for self-improvement. History has shown that over and over again. Seldom do human beings remake or perfect themselves all at once, but we can, over time, as our faith tradition suggests, steadily mold ourselves into finer and fuller persons. So as we sing our final hymn today, I'm going to invite you to have in the back of your mind what it is, one thing that you can do to bring hope into the new year. And it might be something really small. It might be repairing a relationship with someone in your life. It might be simply getting out of your comfort zone by doing something small each day, or it might be something really big, working for social justice in a way you never have before. But some way that you personally can bring a little hope into 2017. And that is what the message I want you to leave with today, and I want you to consider and reflect upon and think about as you go forward. And I want 2017 to be a good and happy year for you, not by shielding you from sorrow and pain, but by strengthening you to bear it as it comes, not by making your path easy, but by making you sturdy enough to tread any path, not by taking hardship from you, but by taking cowardice and fear from your heart as you face hardships, not by granting you unbroken sunshine, not that we could, but by keeping your face bright even in the shadows, not by making your life always pleasant, but by showing you where people and good causes need you most, and by making you eager to be there and to help. May 2017 be a meaningful year for you as you find purpose and perspective for living amidst all the complexities and complications that will inevitably come our way. So I have a little bet with my wonderful, talented colleague of whether you know this last song or not. I think you do. So we will see. Our final song today is Turn, Turn, Turn to Everything There Is a Season. So if you know it, sing it really loud so I win this bet.
Please stand in mind, body, or spirit.
Gift to you, go now and
repeat. Go now and repeat.